In order, our first order of business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Whitehouse, do we have any changes to the agenda this evening?
There are none, thank you.
Motion to approve the agenda.
A second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as posted and circulated. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the July 8th, 2021 meeting.
Mr. Chairman, we'd noticed that a couple of corrections in there and a few typos, so if you chose to approve them, they would be as revised. So.
Make a motion to approve as revised.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the July 8th, 2021 meeting as revised. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. And next on our agenda is we have a presentation by our good friends at the Delaware Department of Transportation to speak with us about the Capital Transportation Program update.
Hello. Jennifer Sinelli Miller for Del Dot Planning. I'm back to give you the latest and greatest in regards to our new Capital Transportation Program. The draft was approved and released. So we're here to tell you about, well, first we're going to introduce you to our new director of planning, and she should be on the phone. Jamie, was she able to come in?
They should be able to connect her.
Pam, are you on the line?
Pam, if you're on the line, please dial 5-star.
Got a little delay here. She'll be on in a second. And I see you brought a co-host with you this evening.
I did.
I'm Brian Behrens. I'm the group engineer for Del Dot's project development section.
Thank you.
Okay, Pam, your line is open.
Hi there. Good evening, everyone. My apologies on, I don't know if you can not, but I just wanted to, my apologies for not being able to come in person, but I did just want to thank you all for letting me speak and just say hello virtually, and I will be looking forward to working with everyone in the near future, and I hope that everything goes well, and thank you and be safe.
Thank you.
So Pam Steinbeck, she's been with Del Dot for a number of years and in different sections, as I kind of did with traveling around the department. She comes with a massive wealth of knowledge and experience, and I'm so excited that she is now our director. So Mark Cote has moved on to bigger and better things, and we will miss him, but she is definitely going to come in and have some really good things to move us forward with our planning efforts.
Great.
So we're going to move on to the current county planning studies and efforts, and then the FY23-28 CTP update, and then status update for some of the current projects in Sussex County. We won't go through all of them, but we'll touch base on a couple of the like hotter ones. So these are the active planning studies that Jamie and I are coordinating on. The first is the long-range transportation plan, which is part of your comprehensive plan. Because you are not a full MPO county, we actually kind of serve as your MPO and help develop a long-range transportation plan that goes hand-in-hand kind of with your comprehensive plan. Five Points Transportation Study in Lewis, which Kim Hoyt-Stevenson is on, and we are still going forward. In October, we're going to be doing kind of a communication with everybody about the Five Points intersection itself, because that's been the biggest question from the working group members. What's happening? When is it happening? What's happening, right? So Shante Hastings, our chief engineer and deputy secretary, should be making that presentation at the October meeting. Coastal Corridor Study, we are in data collection still right now. We had come out to the public last year. We're hoping to come back out to the public in fall. Everything's, as you'll see, is kind of lined up for the fall. It's going to be a big fall, and we'll be able to kind of let people know what the data is showing us in regards to how people come across the county and where we can start looking at making those improvements. Southeast Sussex study, actually, Jamie and Todd just met with Sarah Coakley from Del Dot Planning. We are actually conducting this study as an extension of the Route 54 corridor study, which will then inform potential TID in the area. We don't know where yet. They're still working out all the details, but stay tuned. That study also going out, some of the data is going to be released in the fall. And then finally, the Mulberry Knoll Extension Study, which generated from the Five Points Transportation Study. We are looking at bringing Mulberry Knoll from Cedar Grove to Route 9 at the Vineyards. So that's coming out as well. I think we have a few concepts and some data to show everybody in the fall. So back to you. We started out, we were collecting the ideas. We had 9 projects submitted. 9 projects are now in the draft for Sussex County. And we are moving into September, which will bring us to it's public workshops. And unfortunately, due to the trending numbers, we are going straight virtual for our public workshops for the CTP. So Council on Transportation approved the draft on August 18th. We revamped the website, so it's at ctp.del.gov, so it'll be very easy for people to get to. On a side note, kind of working with planning and trying to develop some really good interactive tools for the virtual CTP. So here are the projects that were added. Falling Point Road, Mulberry Knoll Extension, Postal Lane Improvements, Redden Road Improvements, Shady Road, Plantation Road, SR1, US 113 GSIs, so Avenue of Honor, Redden Road, Shortley Road at Bedford. And then the West Line Road, Route 54 intersection will also be looked at.
Good.
So next steps, as I said, September, we are going to be doing virtual public workshops for each county. Sussex is scheduled for September 29th. At 4 p.m. Obviously, that will be some type of like Zoom recorded and then posted to the website with the interactive tools I was referring to. And then we'll have the public comment won't close until November. COT will review them and then they will vote to adopt the CTP and move it into the financing section and submit to federal government. And then June 22nd, we'll have legislative approval. So, current project updates. If you have the Del.Mobile mobile app, you can find the current projects because all the status I'm about to read is available on the website. We just want people to know this is also available in an app, but this is also what our website looks like. So, any questions so far? No? Okay. So I'll kick it off with Cave Neck Road at Hudson and Sweetbriar. That's what the county moved forward with the FAST Act. So that's our first one, and it is currently in design, and alternative concepts are being developed right now. They're looking at a 2025 construction date, which is a lot sooner than we would have had you all not stepped in. So, Georgetown East Gateway improvements, construction began last year. We're working with the contractor to kind of modify some of the construction phasing to help with the school and the cheer center in that area. Next one is Park Avenue relocation phase one. So Park Avenue was split into two different phases. To allow for the widening of Arrow Safety Road to be completed before they actually moved on the Park Avenue section. And that construction is going to be completed in 2023. Plantation Road improvements, Robinsonville Road to US 9, which is phase one. I don't know if you know phase two. They've kind of placed on hold while we're examining the Mulberry Knoll extension to see if we need both of those projects or just maybe the Mulberry Knoll extension helps, is able to come online and help alleviate some of that traffic. But that phase one, which is going from Robinsonville to US 9, is going forward, and they are wrapping up the right-of-way acquisition. And it's going to be, construction is looking to be completed 2023. That's if everything goes the way it's planned. US 13 at SR 16 is going to be a grade-separated intersection. They're hoping to have a public workshop in the fall. Everything's in the fall. Alternatives are being considered, and construction is currently funded beginning in fiscal year 2027. So that's a bit of a ways off. And then we have, unfortunately, a lot of stuff happening on Route 24. Fortunately or unfortunately. It's going to be a lot of intersection improvements. Right now, I believe construction is happening on SR24 from Mulberry Knoll to SR1. Once that's complete, then the second phase of that is going to be Mulberry Knoll to Love Creek Bridge. And then we have the intersection improvements happening at Camp Arrowhead, Mount Joy, and then the SR5, SR23 intersection improvements happening as well. And then one last project, I think, of note is the removal of the Lewis Swing Bridge. They did find a new location, which is adjacent to the bicycle and pedestrian trail near American Legion Road in Lewis. So hopefully that will wrap up soon. Is there any questions?
Questions, commissioners? Anyone? Comments?
The grade separated. I'm sorry. Did you say the grade separated? The over, I can't. It's the overpass. We did.
Sure.
The overpass at Cave Neck Road. When is that one? Did you mention? Did you say that?
Oh,
one?
I didn't. It's in here though. Give me 1 second.
Still in design. Okay. That project.
And we still can't talk you into doing that one before you do the one on 16. Huh?
No, one in 16 actually is going to advertise here in a few weeks. Construction starting in the spring.
It's just got me terrified. But
yeah. Were you a part of Five Points when we did the video of 16 at one?
No.
I think I'll get that information to you because we did, I think a lot of people expressed that concern, and we did some video of the traffic kind of coming through and why, what we saw and why it ended up being ahead of all the others. So, yeah, I'll make sure you have that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else?
I wanted to thank you all for coming again. Just, you know, the council and you all, we worked on that Dell.dot MOU, the update to it, and this was one of the things that was in there that we would get regular conversations and updates from Dell.dot, because I think that gives everybody on this side of the table sort of a bigger picture of what's happening and the timing of what's happening. So I really appreciate that, and it's one of the things I just wanted to point out that sort of I think was a good addition to that MOU to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, thanks. And it's our pleasure, and you guys got the improved version because my bosses went first, and I'm not sure if you all are aware, I'm sure he doesn't mind me sharing, Josh Thomas is moving on to Greener Pastures. He is moving up to the State Office of Planning for Kent County, so he's leaving Dell.dot. But I will make sure that we are still coming and making sure you all are connected in one way or another.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, moving on to other business. Our first item of other business is a Heron Bay subdivision 2003-14 request to amend conditions of approval.
This is a request to amend the conditions of approval for the previously approved Heron Bay subdivision. The final subdivision plan for Heron Bay was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, May 12, 2005. Specifically, the request is to strike the condition that states the applicant has agreed to install a multimodal paved path throughout the project that will be 5 feet wide and separated from the streets by a 3 foot wide grass area. A signed agreement for the removal of sidewalks has been agreed upon by the HOA and developer, and the signed agreement has been included in the paperless packet. The Planning and Zoning Commission previously heard this request at their meeting of July 8, 2021. Planning and Zoning Commission requested a poll of the community, and staff have since received those results where 80% of all lot owners voted in favor of the removal of the sidewalks of the community, and the full results were also provided in the paperless packet. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 5, parcels 211.00 through 541.00, and the zoning is AR1 Agricultural Residential Zoning District.
Okay.
Well, we asked for a vote. And we got it. This still bugs me. I wish we had something in place where we could at least give them a fine or something because it just feels wrong. But it's not a safety issue that's countywide. So it's not like if they don't have a sidewalk, they can't, you know, get out if there's a fire or something like that. So
I feel the same way. I think it's totally wrong, and there should be some kind of recourse against the developer for not doing what he should have done. And I know we got the signatures from the homeowners, but I would have to wonder, how many of those signatures were kind of forced with, well, you know, if we do this, we're going to tear your yard up, you got to get rid of your mailbox, or whatever else.
Yeah.
Right. So it all should have been done.
They're giving up, you know, $250,000 worth of road work for $20,000 on a, I don't know how much, they said they're going to get some work on their clubhouse. So.
I agree with both of you.
Well, what should we do?
Well, the homeowners approved it, and that's what we asked for.
Yeah, that's the only saving grace in it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I agree that you know, whatever is proffered should be done. Especially after homes have been sold. That's the thing that bothers me.
Yes, that
the thing that bothers me more than anything else is that people, when they lay their money down, they bargain for what's on that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're changing what's on that plan, that affects them. It affects everybody that bought a lot in that development.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's a serious matter.
Yeah, and it sounds like it could still affect 20% of that development.
Well, yeah, 80% is not 100%, that's for
right.
sure. So,
but they had a chance to speak up.
So. Yeah.
So.
Yep. All right, Ms. Hoyt-Stevenson, what's your...
Reluctantly, I am going to make a motion to approve the request to amend conditions of approval for Heron Bay subdivision.
Reluctantly, I second it.
It's been reluctantly moved and reluctantly seconded to grant the request to amend the condition of approval for Heron Bay subdivision 2003-14. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. The next item is Heimlich Solar Farm. This is site plan 21-17 and conditional use number 2251, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for Heimlich Solar Farm for the creation of a 31.8-acre, more or less, solar farm and other site improvements to be located on the east side of Miles Stretch Road, which is Sussex County Road 590. Conditional use number 2251 was approved by the Sussex County Council at their meeting of Tuesday, April 13, 2021, and adopted through ordinance number 2767. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code and all conditions of approval. The tax parcel is District 530, Map 13, Parcel 10. The zoning district is GR, General Residential Zoning District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals.
On this one, did we ask that they put all the we've done a couple of these, and so I'm just that we asked that they put all the things that could buzz in the center. Did we, or was that one?
I believe it was a condition of approval, and they said that they did, like, to make it the best that they could, they made sure they did as put it as centered as they could. So,
okay.
So you can see where my mouse is, where the inverters are. But I believe the inverters are built into the panels, but the infrastructure and the utilities are in the middle. So.
Right. That was the only thing. And Okay. She wanted to make sure that was. All right. Then I make a motion to approve the preliminary site plan for the Heimlich Solar Farm. Subdivision 21-17, conditional use 2251.
A second.
So moved and seconded to approve the preliminary site plan for Heimlich Solar Farm, site plan 21-17, conditional use number 2251. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Moving on to old business. First item of old business is subdivision 2021-02, the estuary.
Mr. Chairman, I move we grant preliminary approval of subdivision number 2021-02 regarding the estuary to add 3.67 acres and 18 lots to the existing estuary subdivision based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the additional property that is subject to this application is basically surrounded by the existing and approved estuary division. This new area will completely integrate into that subdivision. Two, this will consist of 18 new lots in the estuary. The gross density of the entire subdivision RPC will remain within the density permitted in the AR1 district. Three, the new lots will have frontage on the existing roadways within the estuary. Four, these additional lots will be served by central water and sewer. Five, the stormwater management of this expansion area will be integrated into the existing system within the estuary. Six, the expansion of the estuary will not adversely affect area roadways, traffic, and nearby properties. Seven, more than 51% of the existing owners with the estuary have supported this expansion of the subdivision. Eight, this preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the existing conditions of approval imposed upon the estuary as revised shall apply to this expansion of 3.67 acres and 18 new lots, with the exception that this application shall add 18 lots to the total number of permitted lots. As a result, the maximum number of lots in Phase 4 of the estuary shall not exceed 116. B, the property that is subject
of this application shall be integrated into the overall development scheme of the estuary and subject to its restrictive covenant and homeowners association. C, as stated by the applicant, this expansion area shall include a 25-foot wide forested buffer, leaving existing trees within the buffered area undisturbed. D, no lot shall contain any wetlands. E, a revised final site plan for the estuary, including these additional lots, shall be subject to the review and the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
One question, Mr. Mayor, on condition C, was that 20 or 25 foot forested buffer? I think you said
20. Did I say 25?
Yeah, it should be.
I'm sorry. Okay. I revised that to 20.
Okay, thanks. Just want to make sure.
That's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Before I second this, because I think I'm the only one who can, I just wanted to say that I was very concerned about this because I felt like...
Sorry, Stevens, as a point of order, I kind of need you to second it.
Second it first, and then? Okay, I will second it, and then I'll make my move. Okay. And thank you.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to approve the estuary. Is there any discussion before we call a vote?
No, I think there is. Thank you.
I thought there might be.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just... I'm going to ask Mr. Robertson to help me out because I contacted him and said I was concerned about this because I was scared we would set a precedent that some developer would come in and say, well, we have all this land, but we're only going to develop a little bit of it. And we all go, oh, well, that's way below. Sure, go ahead and do it. And then they come in and say, well, now we want more. And now we want more. And we go, well, we already approved that, so now we got to say yes to this, too. And I didn't want that to become like the shoe in the door that allowed other people to just, you know, to blow up development. And Mr. Robertson gave me some legal advice today.
So, yeah, but I think the way you explain that, it's sort of a good point to talk about the discussion. So, you know, there's for every zoning district, there's a permitted use and there's a permitted density. You know, so as long as that permitted density isn't exceeded, you know, it's not something that somebody's coming in and asking for more. They're asking for potentially what's allowed. You know, so that's different. Then I would say, you know, to use your example, if we had an RPC or conditional use and we put a condition on it that said, you know, you can only have this many units because it's not a permitted use, you know, that's a different set of circumstances where you do have the discretion. Here, because it's AR1 and it's essentially 2 units an acre, you know, there is the opportunity for somebody to come in and request an amendment to an existing subdivision as long as it stays within that 2 units an acre and they deal with the 99C stuff and all that. But it's a permitted use. Now, that's not to say that it strikes me two things. One is, you know, they still have to absolutely go through the public hearing process and give notice to everybody and make sure that there's a record that supports it. The other thing is I would hope to think that applicants and developers and their representatives also just wouldn't keep doing that. I mean, for one thing, it's just not efficient, you know, to come in and keep redesigning plans. But that said, it is a permitted use and it's a permitted density, so there we have it. But I like the way you posed your question because that doesn't apply across the board to every type of land use application we get. You know, it certainly, you know, wouldn't apply to a conditional use where they're asking for some sort of density that's not permitted by right. It wouldn't apply to an RPC where, you know, that's not a permitted density by right. You know, and with changes in zone, there's all kinds of discretion on that. You know, just because somebody got MR doesn't mean that they're necessarily entitled to more MR or to GR or HR or anything like that. So that was a big, long answer to your short question. But
no, thank you. And I just wanted that on the record because I think it's one of the things that I think a lot of people, I hope that people are listening out there that don't, because need to know that as well.
Yeah, and what it is, I mean, and just to expand a little to your point about people listening, and it's something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand is that a lot of times when it comes to subdivisions, the die is cast based on the land and how it's zoned and what the zoning code says. And the courts have reviewed this in multiple different cases and basically say, you know, if your land's zoned a certain way and there's certain permitted uses that are established by the zoning code, you know, you as the landowner have a right to expect to be able to do what's permitted. You know, and that's sort of what it comes down to with regard to subdivisions. So.
Good stuff. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it. Like the record show, I will abstain.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded to approve the subdivision 2021-02, the estuary.
for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries 3-0 with the colleague staying. Okay. The next item is conditional use number 2255. John Summers.
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use number 2255 for John Summers for the sale, renting, storage, and repair of bicycles and related accessories based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is a 2.9-acre parcel that is zoned AR1 agricultural residential. Two, the site is in the coastal area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Small businesses uses such as this are appropriate in this area according to the plan. Three, the site is in an area of Sussex County that has developed with other small businesses. This business will be compatible with those existing uses. Four, this small business will provide a service to Sussex County residents and visitors. The use of bicycles has expanded beyond the beach areas where most of these types of businesses are currently located, and this location is in an area that is developing with many homes. This intended use has a public or semi-public character that will benefit the residents and visitors of Sussex County. Five, the use will only occur on the front half of the property nearest Roxana Road. Six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, this use shall be limited to the business of selling, renting, and repairing bicycles and related accessories. No other business shall be conducted from the site. B, one lighted sign shall be permitted. It shall be no larger than 32 square feet per side. C, the hours of operation for the business shall be from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. D, any security lighting shall be shielded and downward screened so it does not shine on neighboring properties and roadways. E, there was testimony during the hearing about a water valve on the neighbor's property that is served and controlled from this property. The applicant shall disconnect any plumbing or water service that crosses from his property onto the neighboring property. F, there shall be a row of tree planting along the northern boundary of the site to sufficiently screen it from view of the adjacent property. The nature, type, and location of the plantings shall be shown on the final site plan. G, the final site plan shall depict the area of the conditional use as being between the frontage along Roxana Road and the ditch that bisects the property. There shall also be no trespassing signs placed along the northern boundary to deter anyone from disturbing the farm animals next door. H, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements, including any entrance or roadway improvements. I, the final site plan shall clearly show all areas for parking, and these areas shall be clearly marked on the site itself. There shall not be any parking within the property setbacks. J, failure to comply with any of these conditions may be grounds for termination of the conditional use approval. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2255, John Summers, for the reasons in which the stipulation is stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2257, Indian River Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2257 for Indian River Fire Company, Inc. for a boat storage facility and overflow parking within a GR district based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant seeks approval for a boat storage and overflow parking facility on approximately 1 acre of land. Two, the proposed conditional use is located in the Oak Orchard area, which is an appropriate location for this type of use. This will be an expansion of an existing boat facility across the road. Three, there is a need for the use proposed by the applicant in this area of Sussex County. Four, the use is limited in nature and will not involve any new buildings. Five, the project with the conditions and stipulation imposed upon it will not have any adverse impact upon neighboring properties or community. Six, the use of a public or semi-public character is a desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the residents in this area of Sussex County. Seven, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Eight, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be limited to storage of boats and overflow parking. No other storage of vehicle or equipment shall occur on the site. B, the facility shall be accessible from 8 a.m. until dusk. C, the perimeter of the site shall be fenced with a 6-foot-high fence that screens the property from neighboring and adjacent properties and roadways. D, no sales or maintenance of boats shall occur on this site. E, all security lighting shall be shielded and downward screened so it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. F, the storage area shall be covered with a pervious stabilizing material. The location and type of this material shall be shown on the final site plan. G, the use shall be subject to all DLDOT requirements regarding the entrance and roadway improvements necessary to provide access to the site. H, no hazardous materials or fuel shall be stored on the property other than what is in the tanks of the boats located on the site. I, one lighted sign shall be permitted on the site. It shall not exceed 32 square feet in size. J, no junk or unregistered boats or trailers shall be stored on the site. K, the failure to abide with these conditions of approval may result in the revocation of this conditional use. L, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning. That's my motion.
Second.
We move and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2257, Indian River Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated, for the reasons and with the stipulation stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2261. What is your voice incorporated?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2261 for What Is Your Voice Incorporated for offices with storage units based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation which provides essential services to clients to combat domestic violence, family violence, and teen violence. It is recognized for its mission to stop the cycle of violence against women and children within Sussex County and the entire state. Two, the use is situated on a 0.63-acre parcel of land located along Shady Road and close to Route 1. There is C1 general commercial zoning and many large and small businesses nearby. It's also across from the new DLDOT Transit Center. This is an appropriate location for this conditional use. Three, with the conditions and stipulations of approval, the use will not have a negative impact on the neighboring properties or roadways. Four, this site is located in the coastal area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Small business type uses such as this one are appropriate in the coastal area according to the plan. Five, the use provides a service and benefit to residents of Sussex County. Six, the site is served by central sewer provided by Sussex County. Seven, DLDOT has commented that traffic impact of the use will be negligible and that no traffic impact study is required. 8. There is a natural forested buffer along most of the sides and rear of the property, which will remain in place to screen the use from neighboring properties. 9. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A. The use shall be limited to an office and 4 storage units within the existing structure of the site. B. There shall not be any outside storage of any materials or equipment. C. All lighting on the site shall be shielded and downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. D. Any dumpsters on the site shall be screened from the view of neighboring properties and roadways. E. The applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements for entrance and roadway improvements. F. As stated by the applicant, no signs shall be located on the site. G. The parking shall comply with the county parking requirements. All vehicle parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. All vehicles must only be parked within the designated areas. H. The existing vegetation on the side and the rear of the site shall remain in place to act as a screen for neighboring properties. The final site plan shall confirm the existence and location of this vegetation. I. The applicant shall comply with all requirements of the Sussex Conservation District regarding stormwater management on the site. J. Failure to comply with any of these conditions may be grounds for termination of the conditional use approval. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Second.
The move and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2261. What is your voice incorporated? For the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2289, Leah Beach.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval for conditional use 2289 for Lee Beach for an outdoor marketplace with similar activities and off-site parking based on the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, this property is currently zoned C1 general commercial, which permits a wide variety of commercial uses. This conditional use for an outdoor market is compatible with the permitted use that could occur on the site. Two, there are a variety of other commercial and small business uses in this area. This use will be compatible with those other uses. Three, the use started out small under the county's limited approvals for events. It became so successful that a more permanent conditional use approval is necessary and appropriate. Four, the use is a benefit to the entire community, providing an outlet for local artisans, musicians, and other small businesses. Five, with the conditions imposed by the county, this use will not adversely affect neighboring properties, roadways, or traffic. Six, the use has a public or a semi-public character that is a benefit to the residents of nearby communities and Sussex County. Seven, part of this use, food service in the form of food trucks or similar temporary stands, shall be permitted. Also, the service of alcohol beverages shall be permitted, subject to the receipt of all required approvals from the Delaware Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission. There shall be off-site parking with shuttle service provided from what is commonly known as the Quillen's Hardware property, identified as parcel 3-3413.1979.00. Although the applicant has stated this use will not likely be limited to Mondays during the summer, with the possibility of future hours in the fall and the holiday season, it is likely, given past success, that it may expand. It is appropriate to allow this occur on Thursday through Mondays, to allow some flexibility in scheduling as needs arise. 10, no parties appeared in opposition to this application, and a representative of Westside New Beginnings appeared in support of this application. 11, the recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, this use shall be limited to an outdoor market, which may include food and beverage service and live music. B, one lighted sign shall be permitted. It shall not exceed 32 square feet per side. C, the hours of operation shall be limited to 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday through Monday of each week. D, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. E, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements, including any entrance or roadway improvements. F, there shall not be any dumping on the site. Also, no junk or unsold items shall accumulate outdoors on the site. G, any dumpsters associated with the use shall be screened from the view of neighboring properties and roadways. H, the final site plan shall clearly show all parking areas, stage locations, and other structures associated with the use, as well as the areas set aside for the outdoor sales. It shall also clearly show the location for the sale of alcoholic beverages and the fencing or similar enclosures required by the Delaware Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission for such sales. I, failure to comply with any of these conditions may be grounds for termination of the conditional use. J, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and the approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2289, Leah Beach, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Next item is conditional use number 2278, Branson James. Okay, any discussion or
Someone have a motion?
I have a motion prepared if there's no further discussion.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend a denial of conditional use number 2278 for Branson James for an events venue based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is proposing an event venue within a 1.902-acre site that is surrounded by homes and land that is actively farmed. Two, there is evidence in the record that the applicant has already been using the site as an event venue. There was also testimony that these prior events were loud, crowded, late at night, and generated unreasonable traffic and parking problems. There is no basis for approving this conditional use in the light of this evidence of problems associated with the past events on the site. Three, the proposed use is not consistent with the uses of the surrounding properties. There was testimony in the record that the proposed use, which is in very close proximity to adjacent homes, will adversely affect the use and enjoyment of those homes as a result of the noise, crowds, activities, including food and alcohol service, live music and entertainment, etc., and increased traffic associated with the use. Four, this site is located along Dusty Road, a small two-lane road. Dusty Road is not suitable for the traffic generated by this proposed use. Five, the proposed use is not compatible with the active farming operations on adjacent farmland. Unlike other event venues that have been approved, which are used in conjunction with the farmland and farming operations known as agritourism facilities, this has no connection with the adjacent farming operations. There was testimony in the record from the adjacent farmer about how this proposed use would adversely affect his farming operations and the ability to sell lots for residential use near the applicant's property. Six, the applicant testified that approximately 100 cars can be expected to park on this property in addition to the existing house and proposed event area. It does not appear that there is adequate space on this site to safely accommodate the parking required by patrons of the proposed events. This will lead to overcrowding on the site and unsafe parking on Dusty Road. Seven, although the applicant stated that the intended project will be regulated by conditions placed upon it through the conditional use process, there are other locations that may be more appropriate for use such as this. Eight, the application, if approved, would be detrimental to the health, safety, and general welfare of the neighboring property owners and farmers in the area. And nine, for all these reasons, this conditional use application should be denied.
Second.
So moved and seconded to recommend denial of conditional use number 2278 Branson James. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're delighted that you're here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel of my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the public hearings scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. There is a 30-second delay between what occurs live in this room and what is broadcast on the internet. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. For those of us here in the room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in the room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves so they can speak first. We will start with folks present in this room, and then we will go to the folks on the telephone who are participating remotely. Because there is a 30-second delay, we will pause the hearing to allow the internet broadcast to catch up for people watching online and wanting to participate by phone if there are people online at the end of the meeting that or hearing that occurs in the room. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come forward to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. And again, we just need the name and place of residence from anyone speaking on the phone. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by Sussex County during its deliberations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay. Commissioners, we have three public hearings this evening. The first two are relate to the same property. Mr. Whitehouse, has the applicant requested to consolidate presentations for the?
They have.
Okay. And we'll grant that request. For those of you who may not be familiar with the process, there will be one presentation that will cover both public hearing change of zone number 1945 and conditional use number 2292, because it's the same applicant and the same piece of property. When the commission acts on these, however, they will be voted on as two separate items. And with that, Mr. Whitehouse, our first public hearing is condition or change of zone number 1945, Gulfstream Development LLC.
Thank you. CZ 1945 is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 8.33 acres more or less. The property is lying on the southwest side of Sanco Road, which is Sussex County Route 394, approximately 750 feet southeast of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 56.05, submitted into the record for CZ 1945. Mr. Chairman, is a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response, a copy of the plus comments received from January 2017 for the adjoining parcel, and a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklets and site plan, and a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. Application CU 2292 is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily 32 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 8.33 acres more or less.
Excuse me, Mr. Whitehouse. Gentlemen, if you're going to have a conversation, please do it out in the lobby. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. The property is lying on the southwest side of Sand Cove Road, which is Sussex County Route 394, approximately 750 feet southeast of Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 56.05. Submitted into the record for CU 2292 is a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the applicant's site plan, a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report, a copy of the staff analysis, and a copy of a letter, an email that has been received from DelDOT, along with a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response, a copy of a letter that has been received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. I would note for both applications we've received zero objections and zero letters in support. And I would note, Mr. Chairman, that the plus comments that we have in the record from January 2017 relate to the subdivision application on parcel 52. And there is an outstanding question about whether the plus review is needed for parcel 56.05, which is included in the application. So that is a question we've been unable to answer prior to the hearing, and it is something that staff would like to resolve prior to any action by the commission, if we could. So.
Okay. So go ahead.
I say the question would be whether PLUS is okay with their prior response saying that it did need to go through PLUS for this one along with the one next door, or whether PLUS wants it to go through PLUS or not. So we just need to hold the record open for that information from PLUS.
Okay.
And know what the next steps are.
All right. Yeah. But we're all right to proceed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But that, I will say, that will mean, though, because of that, there won't be any action taken until we get that additional information. So
okay.
Hold the record open.
All right. Okay. Mr. Hutt.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Good evening to the members of the Planning Commission and staff. For the record,
my name is David Hutt. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This evening I am representing Gulfstream Development, LLC, which is the contract purchaser of the property and the applicant for both the change of zone and conditional use applications, as they were just introduced by Mr. Whitehouse. With me this evening, and sitting in the front here, is Bob Harris, a principal of Gulfstream Development, LLC. Sitting next to him is Steve Engel, and he is a registered landscape architect with Vista Design, Inc. Sitting all the way in the back is Tom Brinker, and he is one of the owners of the property presently. First, thank you to the Commission for consolidating these applications so that everything has to be said only one time for both of these. It's the savings of time, and you're having to listen to me speak, so I'm sure even the public appreciates that combination. As Mr. Whitehouse indicated, the application is for an 8.33-acre parcel located on Sand Cove Road, a short distance from its intersection with Lighthouse Road or Delaware Route 54, as most people would probably call it. You can see on the screens around the room that the property is outlined in red. This is, of course, a Google Earth image. Interestingly enough, the county's website is a little more advanced than Google Earth image, which was sort of surprising. You cannot see on here the subdivision or part of Bayside that is directly across the street on Sand Cove Road on this image. When the tax map was up, Mr. Whitehouse had that on the screen a moment ago, but when the tax map was up, you don't need to go, but you're welcome to if you want. It's right. Oh, he has it right there. But if he takes off the zoning layer, you can actually see the development of that property on the county's tax map. So that is directly across the street from this 8 acres that we're talking about. And if we could switch back now, I'm sorry. Thank you. If the Bay Knolls community name sounded familiar to you when you looked at the agenda and the project notebook, that's likely because the commission considered an application with that same name on the adjacent property, which is immediately to the west, basically right where the hand icon is. And that property is, of course, it's 13.3 acres, situated at the intersection of Route 54 and Sand Cove Road. The applications at that time were very similar to tonight's applications. The applications sought to change the zoning classification of the property from AR1 to MR, and also sought the approval of 52 duplex or multifamily units for the property. This commission recommended approval of that application on December 12, 2019, and on January 14, 2020, Sussex County adopted Ordinance Number 2700 and 2701, which were the approvals for Change of Zone Application 1896 and Conditional Use Application 2197, which is the 52-unit duplex community that I just described a moment ago. You can see on the screens, this is the conditional use site plan that was in the exhibit notebook that the Planning Commission considered at that time. And when you look at the conditional use plan, one thing I wanted to draw to your attention, and I'll come back to this later in the application, you can see here the 52 units, and you can also see, of course, the access point onto Sand Cove Road. Certainly, I'm sure there's no one that can read this note here at the bottom where the cursor is presently. But if you could read that note, you would see it says future access to Melson property. And that future access to the Melson property is part of the Herons Ridge at Bayside that is immediately across the street. And when Mr. Whitehouse a moment ago flipped to the tax map, you could see, of course, that entrance is installed at this time. After Bay Knolls was approved by the Planning Commission and ultimately by County Council in January of 2020, rather, Gulfstream Development purchased that 13.3-acre parcel and also put the 8 acres that is the subject of tonight's application under contract with the goal of replicating what you see on the 13 acres, essentially, on the 8 acres for the property. It's my hope tonight that either through your review of the project book that was submitted or things learned during the course of this evening's public hearing, that the Commission will agree and conclude that continuing the theme from the 13-acre approval to this 8 acres results in a superior project in several respects. Before I get to the specifics of those superior elements with the combined project, I did want to review the basic land use principles, which I know the Planning Commission is very familiar with since it goes over these on a very regular basis, at least twice a month. But as the Commission knows, there are 3 primary land use maps to help guide land use decisions. At the largest, or the 40,000-foot view, of course, you have the state level, which has the state strategies map. On that map, this property, as many of the properties in this area, are designated as level 3. Moving down to the county level here in Sussex County, of course, there is the 2045 future land use map, which is now being shown on the screens around the room. And on that map, you can see that this area of Sussex County is yellow in color, which represents the coastal area in Sussex County. It's one of the county's 7 growth areas. And as you know, once you're in the coastal area, there are certain requirements which the property owner has when they submit an application. And in the project booklet, there was a Chapter 99C-9C response and, in addition, an environmental assessment and public facility report, as is required when a project is being developed in the coastal area. As the Commission knows, according to the comprehensive plan, the MR zoning district is appropriate in the coastal area on the future land use map. And when you read the considerations for that, of course, the comprehensive plan states that medium and higher densities are appropriate when public utilities, particularly water and sewer, are available to serve the project. And as I'll go over in a moment, those are both available to this project. The third map that helps to guide land use decisions is, of course, the county zoning map itself, which part of the application this evening is to amend the zoning map. As you can see, the conceptual plan for this proposed project is shown on the zoning map right here. And as you can see, the property is zoned AR1. Essentially, when it's a zoned AR1, there really isn't any coloration on the map. Right next to it is, of course, to the west, is the application that was filed by Fenwick Commons for Bay Knolls, the existing 13 acres I talked about at the outset. And that shows the 52 units that were approved as part of the conditional use for that property. Across the street, as I mentioned at the outset, and when we looked at the tax map, you can see that there is also MR, RPC designation there. And then as you travel down Sand Cove Road, there, of course, is more of Bayside that is also zoned MR, and then the mass of yellow that you see there is largely the Bayside community, with which I'm sure all of the Planning Commission members are very familiar. In looking at this map, and it may be hard to read on the screens around the room, I think it's important to point out the dates of the various approvals that are shown on that map, beginning with where the cursor is now. Again, this is part of Bayside. But that was an MRRPC application in 2014 for a combination of single-family homes, townhomes, and duplexes. If we move to right along Route 54, you can see the pinkish color there is a B1 approval. You can see that's a 2016 application. Also in 2016 is Heron's Ridge at Bayside, which is that community directly across Sand Cove Road from the 8 acres we're here on tonight. And of course, in 2020, you have the Bay Knolls applications for the change of zone to MR, along with the 52-unit multifamily conditional use. I point out that history over the last 7 years because it helps to demonstrate that tonight's application is consistent with the character and trend of development in this area along Sand Cove Road. The slide that's on the screen around the room right now shows both a site plan for tonight's application, which is, of course, this area here, and then shown in purple is the prior approval from 2020 for the 13 acres. As I mentioned a moment ago, included in the project project notebook were the Chapter 99-9C responses, as well as the Environmental Assessment and Public Facility Evaluation Report. And I don't intend to go over every one of the things that's listed in those reports tonight, but I did want to give a little bit of background and provide a quick summary of what is in those reports. If you were to visit the property right now, you would see that it is presently used for agricultural purposes. There are no known archaeological sites or National Registered listed properties on this parcel. There are no known threatened or endangered species, largely because it's farmed at this time. On the flood maps, it is in Zone X, which, as the Commission knows, means that it is not within the 500-year floodplain. There are no wetlands located on this property. On the site plan, you can see the various locations where the design planners and land planners have indicated would be for stormwater. The proposed stormwater would be, of course, subject to the best management practices and review and approval by the Sussex Conservation District. The plan has 3.59 acres of open space, which is roughly 43% of the 8.3-acre site. There are some wood lines along the boundaries of the property, and to the extent possible, of course, those would be preserved as part of the 20-foot landscape or forested buffer between this and adjacent properties. And the plan shows that this means that 77% of the existing wooded areas would be able to remain on the property and be incorporated into that. And it is a small area, but the goal, of course, would be to preserve more than three-quarters of the trees that are presently on the site, particularly along the boundary. Water for fire protection and drinking will be provided by Artesian. In the exhibit notebook, there was the CPCN map for this area of Sussex County, and you can see that Artesian has the CPCN, and also included in the project book was a ready and willing letter provided by Artesian. The Sussex County Engineering Department report that Mr. Whitehouse mentioned when he introduced the application indicates that the property is in Tier 1 of the county's unified sanitary sewer system, and that capacity is available for the units that are proposed for this project. DLDOT responded to the service level evaluation request for tonight's application and noted that there was no traffic impact study that was required and indicated that it considers the traffic impact to be negligible. And as the Commission knows, that's a defined term within DLDOT's memorandum of understanding with Sussex County regarding land development coordination. At the outset of my presentation, I talked about the superiority of duplicating and extending the existing approval and concept from the 13-acre parcel to this 8 acres. Before discussing two particular elements that are superior, I wanted to discuss its consistency with that plan. First, it's the same housing style. It's the same multifamily duplex housing style that's proposed within the 13 acres, and also is consistent with the housing that you would find across the street in that community, and also the mixture of homes that is in just down the road in Bayside, the various phases of Bayside. In addition, it's essentially the same density as the 13-acre parcel. The gross density on the 13-acre parcel was 3.9 units per acre. The gross density for this application is 3.84 units per acre. As the Commission knows, in the MR zoning district, 4 units to the acre is what's permitted in that zoning classification, so this project falls, both the 13-acre piece that was approved as well as the proposal for this 8 acres falls within the appropriate range. There's also a consistent amount of open space between the 13-acre piece and the 8-acre piece. The plan for the 13-acre piece showed 46% area that is reserved for open space, and on this 8-acre parcel, the amount of open space is 43%, so within 3% of the total on the 13-acre piece. Another feature that I know there's members on the Planning Commission that appreciate was in the original application, there are 5-foot-wide sidewalks that are proposed throughout the community that connect, of course, all of the homes within the community, but then also connect the community to the streets and the shared use path that is along the frontage along both Route 54 and Sand Cove Road. And the 5-foot sidewalks would, of course, continue throughout this new section that's being proposed for the 8 acres. With respect to the superiority that comes from the combining of these projects, the first element of superiority is that, as you can see in this new section, there is a plan now to construct community amenities that include a pool and a community center. There was no pool or community center in the original approval for the 52 units on the 13 acres. And another benefit of the location of this site will be that students that would attend there, their parents or guardians would have an opportunity to park in the parking places for that community center, and the bus could, of course, come and go if the school district decided to designate that rather than have a bus stop out on Sand Cove Road. They could use that parking lot with areas. The second item of superiority is the new entrance location. As you can see, the old entrance would have been the extension of this cul-de-sac to Sand Cove Road, and this entrance location would now be the new entrance. And the new entrance is superior for two reasons in particular. First, of course, just the geometry of it, it is farther away from the intersection of Sand Cove Road and Route 54. And I know the commission has heard enough traffic analysis and engineers to know that it's better for entrances to be further away from intersections, such as the Route 54 Sand Cove Road intersection. Similarly, this 8 acres entrance allows the applicant to align the entrance with the entrance for Heron's Ridge at Bayside. So rather than the entrances being staggered between this location and this location, there will now be a four-way alignment of an intersection, and hopefully most drivers know how to negotiate a four-way intersection, which is easier to navigate than in intersections that are staggered across a roadway. Again, similar to moving an intersection, or rather an entrance further away from an intersection, this commission has heard plenty of traffic engineers and even DelDOT representatives talk about the benefits of four-way intersections and not staggering entrances down a roadway. In conclusion, based upon the information contained within the project book and the record created this evening, the proposed change of zone and conditional use for this 8 acres is consistent with the character and trend of the development in this area. It's consistent with the comprehensive land use plan, and it's also consistent with the MR zoning district found and its requirements found within the Sussex County Zoning Code. As I described just a few seconds ago, this proposal tonight is also consistent with, and when combined with, the existing approval for Bay Knolls, creates a superior community, and certainly is superior than having two separate applications in two separate communities in close proximity. As I came in this evening, I was handed 16 letters that were signed by neighbors in the area. I believe it was the owner of the properties who were able to acquire these, and I'll hand these to Mr. Whitehouse in a moment. And as is my typical practice, I have prepared a proposed set of findings and conditions of approval that I will also hand to Mr. Whitehouse in a moment. As a spoiler alert, the proposed conditions are remarkably similar to the conditions that were found for the 13 acres. Of course, they were modified accordingly to fit the 8-acre parcel, but they are surprisingly similar, or maybe not so surprisingly similar. That concludes my presentation this evening, and myself, Mr. Harris, and Mr. Engel are certainly available to answer any questions that members of the commission may have.
All right. We appreciate your presentation, and we'll see if the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
Well, I have to say I'm a little disappointed you didn't have any comments about the road name, Sand Cove Road. You always enlighten us on something with the road name.
Well, I was going to enlighten you that Route 54, I almost did, and I did not. But Route 54 has more names along it than it's actually, it comes up as Lighthouse Road and any other number of roads along the various portions of that. But as this property was on Sand Cove Road, I thought I would avoid that. So I'm sorry to disappoint in that regard.
The questions I would have would be answered, I'm sure, by the Fire Marshal's Office because of the turnarounds at the ends, so that they would have jurisdiction over that. I get it, what you're trying to do here. Just curious, would it be done in phases or would it all be done at the same time?
I will ask Mr. Harris, the developer, to answer the question about phasing. One thing that I neglected to mention, and it's in the proposed conditions, and it may go without saying, but just so it's on the record, certainly both parcels would be subject to the same homeowners association. And that singular homeowners association would be responsible for the maintenance of the stormwater ponds and the pool and the community center. And certainly that's one of the benefits of combining these is you have a better base to have community amenities like a pool and a community center. But that wasn't your question. So I asked Mr. Harris if he would answer the question about phasing.
For the record, I'm Robert Harris. I'm one of the managing members of Gulfstream Development, LLC. As to the phasing, yes, it will be phased into two phases, and I would guess probably evenly split in total lots of 40, but at 40 in one and 40 some odd in the other to get to the total.
Okay. Thank you. This is a question for Mr. Robertson. Does PLUS expire? Do they have a limit on their? It's from January 2017 on the one that we have.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know that it expires. I don't know that it's ever come up before. That's maybe a Jamie question, actually.
So it did come up in the previous change of zone application as to whether the previous 2017 PLUS comments were still valid in 2019. And there is an email that we'd received from the State Planning Office confirming that as long as the county had no expectation for it to go back through at that time, then those 2017 comments were okay. So is that suggests there's no specified time period.
It's 2 years versus the four we're looking at.
I think it's better to say it's just a matter of fact and degree onto how long has passed.
So. Okay, that's really all I had. Thank you.
I have none, sir.
Okay. I don't either. I mean, my only question is that this property seemed like it was high enough, but the property next to it looked like it was had some drainage issues, so I didn't know if you were addressing that in any way in your.
And you say the property next to it, which direction?
The one to the bottom there. Yes, where that is, yeah.
There's a pond back there.
Okay, good. All right. Okay, and there you go. Holly answered your question.
Thank you.
One for me.
Not for me, thank you.
Just we've all been talking about PLUS. Do you have any light to shed on PLUS, just in terms of any conversations you all have had with them? Or?
I do not.
Okay.
And the purple area that's on the screen, that has not been back to the Planning Commission, I believe, for a site plan review. But that's also because it would now need to travel in tandem with this application, depending on what the Planning Commission recommends and then County Council does. I do not have any further enlightenment on the Office of State Plan.
I'll give you all an opportunity to comment if you have anything. Yeah. So, okay.
Mr. Hutt, I just have one.
Yep.
Not so much a question. Might be. Well, I guess it is a question. As you, I think you were here earlier for the earlier discussion, there seems to be a remarkable amount of selective amnesia surrounding sidewalks. and we get sidewalks proffered at this stage, and then 2 years later they're back in here, and my goodness, we can't do the sidewalks. Can you perhaps someone on your team shed some light on how that happens, or do you have any expectation that it's going to be an issue here? I mean, if there are sidewalks on your final site plan, there is an absolute expectation that they will be built. And I just want to make sure you guys understand that.
I will say that I understand that and was certainly here for the commission's discussion from earlier this evening. I'll ask Mr. Harris if he would like to comment on that, as I tend to try not to spend other people's money, but I will ask.
In fairness to the applicants, all of them, and this particular applicant, we recognize that sometimes there are engineering reasons that you may not be aware of, but I would just ask that at this stage, since you know this is an issue, that you would at least give some thought to that up front as to whether you can actually do what you're offering to do. And that's really my only comment on it. So it's not necessary. I'm sure these gentlemen intend to do whatever they're telling us they're going to do. It's just that we seem to see this a lot, and it's a real issue, especially if you're especially if you've already sold lots and so on, and folks coming back in and wanting to change things. So just beware. If the sidewalks are on the plan, you put them in.
If it gives you and any other members of the Planning Commission any comfort, I have had that conversation with other individuals that it is important to the Planning Commission that the final site plan look what was promised during the public hearing process.
Yep, afraid that's true. All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your presentation. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1945 and or its conditional use number 2292, Gulfstream Development, LLC, in favor? Okay, is there anyone in the room who would like to speak in opposition?
Yeah, I would.
You would. Well, come on up here and tell us who you are, and you may have the floor.
I'm not educated like most of you people. I've been a workaholic all my life. I own a property
and your
between
name is, sir?
Paul Norvell,
thanks.
Sr.
Okay, go ahead.
And I own a property between Bayside and this property that they want to put in.
Uh-huh.
And I got a kid. They go take my trees down and drop them right in my ponds. I got 12 acres of pond on my mansion. And it's hard to get anything done with these people. And I think they ought to put a fence up so I don't have to have them taking my trees down. But that's costly, too. But I don't know. I get tired of, you know, people taking over your property. I pay $9,000 a year taxes. I don't have no say. There's going to be, you know, that's trouble. But they dropped the trees right in my ponds. I had to clean them out, and, you know.
You're saying they are doing this?
Bayside. Bayside was giving them water view of my ponds so they could sell their houses. And they think that's a great thing, but I'm the one catching all the problems with them. Then they throw their trash all around. They want to fish in the ponds because there's a lot of fish in there. And they throw their trash all over, and I got to clean it up. There's a lot involved in there, and you can't go down these single-lane roads with all these houses going in there. Somebody better wake up in here and think about that. If you go down any of these roads, there's a development going in. You don't have double lane roads. You have one single bridge road going to Fenwick. I mean, there's got to be a line somewhere on this. I mean, they can build their houses and all, people need houses, but you got to have roads. I can't even get down my condo down on 13th Street on a weekend. Traffic's backed up for miles sometimes. But that's my say. Anyway.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Now, you said something like you wanted a fence. Did you?
They never even come and talk to me about anything.
Just not next to
you know, they, mm-hmm. don't know. Well, okay, that's all I got to say.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Okay, operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor or in opposition to change of zone number 1945 and or conditional use number 2292 Gulfstream Development LLC?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Okay, we have Ashley on the line. Ashley, please state your name.
Hi, this is Ashley. Hi, this is Ashley. I'm an employee with Sussex County just testing the line.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We hear you loud and clear. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Again, if there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is no one that wishes to speak.
All right, sir. We thank you. Commissioners, anyone else, any other questions?
No.
Okay. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. What?
Do we have to get open?
Oh, that's right. We will do that when we make a motion. We'll call close the public hearing. Right
I'm sorry.
Now.
I'm sorry. Stay in my lane.
No, you're all good. Listen, I need all the help I can get, and I don't turn any down. So. Anyway, well, we will close the public hearing and invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And our next public hearing is an ordinance to amend the code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 20, by amending Section 115 to 156 to clarify that the lots area within Tables 2 and 3 refers to the lot area within each particular zoning district. This sounds like a housekeeping matter. Indeed it is.
And before I hand over to Mr. Robertson to explain the ordinance, Mr. Chairman, I just want to confirm that we have noticed the ordinance change, and we have received zero comments in support and zero comments in opposition. So
this is, it is a housekeeping matter. Basically what it does is there was some confusion or uncertainty about what the code said. If you had a parcel of property that had two zoning districts over the whole piece of property, the way our code was worded, it talked about the density being calculated based upon the boundaries of the property, not the boundaries of the zoning district. So what this does is just clarifies that, you know, for example, if you're determining how many units you can have, it's based upon the area within the zoning district on your property, not the entire property. So simple as that. We did use it. There was just some clean up too in the language, just in terms of how it was, the zoning districts are listed, but that's not anything of substance. So it is maybe the shortest ordinance that we've had in a long time, in that it's one page long.
And it was pretty easy to read.
Are
you?
Yeah.
Commissioners, any questions? Okay. Is there anyone here with an interest in this application that would like to speak? Apparently not. Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this ordinance application?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Again, if there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is no one that wishes to speak.
All right, commissioners, any further questions? Staff, anyone? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. And that completes our public hearings for the evening. Let's go ahead and refer back to our public hearings now, and then we'll go pick up this additional item, business item at the very end, if you don't mind. Our first public hearing was the change of zone number 1945, Gulfstream Development, LLC. Ms. Wingate, what's your pleasure?
That's the one we have the plus on, correct?
You want to hold the record open? Yep.
Yeah, we need to hold the record open for confirmation from plus, whether they'll accept the prior plus comments or whether we need to get a new plus review.
Can that be my motion?
Yes, and if we do need a new plus review, hold the record open for that.
Okay, that's my motion.
Okay.
Good job.
The move seconded to defer action on conditional use number 1945, Gulfstream Development, LLC, holding the record open for a determination of the suitability of the existing plus comments, and pending that decision, if it's determined that new plus comments are needed, the record will remain open until those comments are received. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2292, Gulfstream Development, LLC.
I make the same motion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2292, Gulfstream Development, LLC, for the reasons that were stated for change of zone number 1945. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, our next item was the ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 20, by amending Section 115 to 156 to clarify that the lots within the area within Tables 2 and 3 refers to the lot area within each particular zoning district.
I make a motion to approve.
I second.
Move and second to approve the ordinance amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Nicely done. Okay, we have one item of additional business this evening, and that is a discussion relating to the hours of construction, which I think we asked to have put on the agenda for tonight for a discussion. Mr. Mears, would you like to open the discussion, or?
Well, I think it was, I'll just back up. It was.
Or do you want to open the
discussion? I'll open it up for the reason.
Summarize.
Yeah, well, the reason it was put on is we started talking about that as anything for the good of the order at the last meeting, and it wasn't on the agenda. So, you know, I don't know that there's, you know, anybody wants to start it necessarily, but since we started that conversation last meeting and it wasn't on the agenda, we said, well, if we're going to talk about it, let's put it on a future agenda. So that's to the extent you all want to talk about it, it's on there.
it's all about working on Saturdays, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how does everybody feel about that?
I feel like if there's already development around them, these people need a break on Saturdays and Sundays. You're hearing pounding all day long, all week long.
I agree, but I know we need to establish something, but I was looking at the Gulfstream property this weekend. I rode all through Americana Bayside. It was, what was the time on it, 8:59 or 8:58. They were pumping insulation. There was a guy on forklifts on the top, and it was that late in the evening. It's almost, it wasn't 8:58, it had to be 7:58 because it was still light. Yeah. So I feel like if they're not going to enforce it, then what does it?
Well, it's throwing extra on the county to enforce, and they don't really need anything else to enforce. Let me use Bethany Beach as an example. About 12 years ago, a councilman called me and said, please come talk about how you feel about winter work hours, which I thought was ridiculous to begin with, but then they got rid of Saturdays. And my comments were two things. You're going to push projects out, they're going to take longer, you're going to regret that, and homeowners are going to pay more construction interest. To make a long story short, about 6 years later, they restored Saturday work hours, but only a half day. Didn't do any good because nobody's coming in for 3 hours. They just recently restored their summer hours to get the projects done quicker. So what's the worst of the evils? Saturdays, or you've got 52 extra days a year to complete the project quicker?
The other part of that, too, is with people working, if they have a rain day and their trade is outside, then that employee has lost a whole day's work where they could maybe make it up on a Saturday.
Right.
I get it with the residents there, too, because then it is annoying. But I think they need to understand that when they're buying into a project, if they're one of the first ones in, they're going to be listening to it for a while.
Right, and neighboring. It's not just the employees or the work. If all of these projects are financed, which includes interest. So the longer the community takes, the more the housing costs and the more our citizens pay for it. But, you know, there's a lot to consider other except, you know, we woke up and we heard hammers and saws. So Bethany has no work hours in the summer.
What do you mean no work hours?
No Saturday work hours, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Now the one thing I will say is we're kind of treading into troubled waters on this, because I'm going to go back to the conversation we had earlier about subdivisions. You know, the same cases we talked about, they say, you know, that you have an expectation to be able to do what's permitted on your property. Those cases also say that the Planning and Zoning Commission still is not basically a rubber stamp for those. You have the ability to put conditions on approvals, but those have to be related to the record. There has to be a reason in the record why there's a condition, you know, whether it's whatever, I'm not going to speculate on the reason, but there has to be a basis in the record for that condition. I will caution you, I don't think, with all due respect to the commission has the ability to make a rule across the board as to construction hours. That has to come from county council. You know what I mean? So I understand what you're saying, you know, in terms of what's occurring in Bethany, but that's Bethany's town council that's adopting that.
Right. I just used
yeah.
it as
no,
an
I know. And I think it's a good one.
How they pulled it back because yeah. they realized that, you
right.
know.
No, I think that's a.
Shorter term construction was better than, you know, no work on Saturdays. Another thing is Monday through Saturday is an industry standard. A lot of our help is Hispanic that doesn't speak English, and you know they're going to take advantage of work Saturdays. So once again, that's going to throw liability back on the county to enforce this. So
I love the fact that you put the notice, the condition with the yeah. sign, and it
yes.
has to be in both bilingual. But I go back to again, and I'm not trying to put the blame on code enforcement, but if they're not going to enforce it, what difference does it
well,
make?
But it gives the people recourse that they can say if there is a problem, they at least can, you know, I live next door to a construction site and, oh, they're not
yeah,
working on Saturdays. Well, they can at least call and
yeah.
say, this has happened.
And that's what does happen. I mean, that was the issue, was where it wasn't people calling complaining that there was work on Saturdays. It was people that were... however, they understood that there was a condition imposed about working within certain days or hours, and they were calling up, and it was complaint-driven, you know. And so that's why then it evolved, and there was enforcement that was going on in that regard, and it involved to try to stop that from happening. Some builders were actually on their own putting the signs up because they were tired of the enforcement and the hassle they were getting from neighbors that caused the county to come out. Then, you know, the county sort of staff-wise, the administration realized, you know what, that's a good idea. If you're going to put hours of operation, it's all fine and dandy. It's on a motion, a piece of paper, and a minutes. But that doesn't do anything for the site itself, so let's put the sign out there. You know, but that's sort of how that evolution went. But and I agree with Bruce. I think that's good, you know, anecdotal evidence or descriptive, you know, where you're dealing with it in Bethany. My point was, you know, I don't believe that the commission has the ability to say we are not going to allow people to work on Saturdays. That's got to come from council. If there's a reason in the record that justifies it, then, you know, it's appropriate.
So,
and I don't know where that bright line is, I'll say,
so,
either. You know, whether there's opposition that says I don't want to have it, or whether you just look around and there's houses.
As a practical matter, then how would that occur? For instance, if we had people who came in and specifically, if we had folks who were testifying who came to speak about a particular application and said, we don't want Saturday hours because this, that, the other thing, traffic, you know, and then would we have the ability to, on that specific application, to address that if there was sufficient evidence?
I don't know what, so that would be an example of the type of
thing.
That's
what I'm saying.
Know.
I know
yeah.
that's not
yeah.
the thing. I'm
yeah.
just trying to wrap my head around what the situations are where we could do something about it. You know, that's
so can we send it over to county council for their opinion? Or is that not necessary?
No, I mean, that certainly you could do that, yeah, and have them.
I'm fine in the summer of saying they work until sundown, and that gives them until practically 9 o'clock at night in July. And I'm fine with that being the way it is all the time because, you know, it's self-regulating in the winter. 5 o'clock, it's dark. You're not swinging a hammer when it's dark. But I just feel that we already have too much traffic on weekends in the summer. We already
What if you had, and this again, it's got to go to the county council, but I think the answer to Bruce's question is we can certainly ask them if we want them to consider it. It would be up to them whether or not they feel like it's worth their time and effort, but maybe they will. But if you lengthened the hours on Monday through Friday and, you know, it said, you know, 8 to 6 or 8 to 7, you could work Monday through Friday and then not work Saturday. I don't know if that would, of course, they may be doing that already is the thing. I mean, I get it. That extended day may be happening already. But there's certainly no harm in asking council to give us a thought.
I think that's the way to go. Now we have a standard.
We're the ones that have to do it. We can't do it. So
right.
We'll just tell them that it's just an issue we've identified. And they should probably
I think it would be easier for developers and builders to comply if it's uniform. So if the council spells it out.
Well, if you, right, and all I'm trying to do is get them 48 hours in a week, but maybe it's not going to be 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. Maybe you give them 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, that might be a solution.
And one thing, just so everybody listening, and, you know, and I know you all, I think, know this, but, you know, we're not, and I think, I don't want to say all of them, but close to all of them, the construction hours are proffered by the applicant and the developer. I mean, they're like tonight in that hearing we had, and I haven't looked at those, whether there's, you know, but that's something that's proffered. So we're just confirming that so to make sure it's in the approval that these are the hours of operations.
Right.
We're not unilaterally imposing hours of construction.
But still, with the conditional use, we were allowed to put conditions.
You are, but the conditions have to be based on the record. And here's the big thing, though, and this came up before, is you can't start making ad hoc ordinances where it's the same condition on every one. You can't do ordinance by condition. You know what I mean? You can't say, we're not going to let you work on Saturdays and have that a uniform condition on every approval, because that's got to be an ordinance. It's got to be, we're not going to let you work on Saturdays because something in the record justified it.
Well, and actually, I was fine with that.
Yeah.
The idea that, I think we should look at everyone. If it's somebody that's out in the middle of nowhere, I don't care, work every day.
That's it exactly. They're proposing
7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
Well, I think if you want them to consider a general rule, they have to do it. What was just outlined, though, are the instances where we can do it.
Yeah.
But if we do it, there has to be something in the record that justifies it. Thank you. That justifies it.
I like that.
So. Okay. Are we good? Anything else?
No.
Okay. Anyone else have anything for the good of the order?
Just a reminder from me, Mr. Chairman, that we had talked about a bus tour of completed projects and interesting projects. We don't have a date for that, and I don't know at this stage whether it would be a joint commission council visit. But if there are dates coming up in the fall where commissioners are not available, please let us know. We're trying to lock in a date, and then we have to identify some sites to go and visit, particularly with interesting or new designs that the commission's looked at. So we're working on that. And the only other thing to add is to recognize Mr. Torrance for his service to the county and to thank him. This will be his last commission meeting with us.
Oh, good grief. What the heck? We're starting to see the starlight.
You're a week early. I am. Next Friday will be my last day. I did accept a new position working for the law firm of DLA Piper over at their Reston, Virginia office to work Now I'll be standing on that side of the dais.
What are you doing there?
Land use planning. So I'll be a land use planner within their real estate division.
Really?
So they do some pretty big projects and thought it was an awesome opportunity. And you guys have, I appreciate everything you guys have done. It's been awesome working with you guys, and you guys taught me the things to say, the things not to say when standing on that side of the of the microphone, and I'll take that experience with me. And
well, just remember that they're not always nice as we are.
That's right.
Good luck to you over here.
No. Okay. Most of the stuff that I've heard that the projects they work on are mostly in the Northern Virginia, yeah. Reston, Tyson's yeah. Corner. A lot of work right now on they're extending the rail line out to Dulles Airport, so they're doing a lot of the development to match with the rail line and stuff like that.
Hear that, everybody? They're extending the rail line.
In Reston, Virginia. Okay. Well,
yeah, good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Man. I'm sure you're going to do famously there. We'll be reading about you in the paper.
Maybe I can bring some projects over here if you want to hear them.
Okay, anything else to go to the order? If not, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony.